This time on Weather Brains, we talk about hurricane season and Tropical Storm Alberto.
This is not your classic climatological period for significant activity, and yet, counting Alberto, we're actually watching three systems right now, and this is only, what, mid-June?
As far as Alberto, we'll talk about the job the news media did covering it.
I was stunned at some of the things I've heard with this tropical storm as it was coming up.
It's enough to make James Spann downright cynical about some of those on-the-scene hurricane reporters.
Blow-dried boobs is typically what I call them.
Another ongoing controversial subject in the news again, global warming, James, may force polar bears to turn to cannibalism, according to scientists.
Well, that does it.
J.B. Elliott sets his sights on this subject.
I do believe there is global warming underway right now, but there has been global warming underway every few centuries for eons.
And Brian Peters talks about his trip to Lake Martin, and he clears the air about something else.
I want to set the record straight. I do not hang out at Wesley's booby trap.
It's all coming up.
This is Bill Gray out in the Department of Atmospheric Science, Colorado State University. I am presently listening to Weather Brains.
Welcome to Weather Brains, the podcast that's all about weather, put together by a bunch of, you got it, weather geeks from the Weather Company in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm David Black, welcoming you to our podcast. With us this time, James Spann, ABC 3340 Birmingham Chief Meteorologist. How are you, sir?
David, I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Doing exceptionally well. Life is good. No complaints. And speaking of life is good, I think it's pretty good for Brian Peters, too. You just came back from some vacation time.
Oh, yes. Enjoyed the banks of Lake Martin over in Tallapoosa County near Alex City, between Alex City and Dadeville.
Wow.
Had a great time, except it was too daggum hot.
Well, experiencing the joys and the climate of our state, that's a good thing. And hello to J.B. Elliott with us. How you doing, Mr. Elliott?
Hello, guys.
Anything major to report, or even minor to report?
Everything I report is minor.
How's Miss Molly?
Miss Molly is major.
You know something, James, that we've, I think, have overlooked in some of our podcasts is Miss Molly. I mean, she's a huge draw for people who read the e-forecast from ABC 3340. Maybe we need to give Miss Molly some more airtime.
Oh, you know, these television news consultants come in here and do market research on, you know, how well people know you, what they thought. I'm sure Miss Molly has surpassed all of the television weather people in market research here.
Some of the big names could probably disappear, but if Miss Molly is still there, it'd be okay.
Got a nice email yesterday from Iraq, from a soldier in Iraq that James forwarded to me, saying that the Little Miss Molly stories was like a touch of home.
I was going to say the same thing. We get a lot of feedback on our products that we crank out on television and radio and the internet, and I thought cool to see that note from one of our brave Americans over in Iraq serving our country, that he regularly checks the website and he loves the stories about Miss Molly. So I thought that was pretty cool.
You know, I think what would be kind of cool sometime, maybe not cool since it's rather warm over there, would be to hook up with somebody over there that listens to Weather Brains, if anybody does, and kind of get a weather report from the Baghdad area. Maybe we can try that sometime.
Yeah, really. Maybe they've got Skype and they can get on here and join us. That'd be pretty cool.
I've seen some folks from that area on Skype, believe it or not. So,
I would imagine that's a prime way of communicating with folks back home.
Sure,
using
is.
You know, voice over internet. It's very inexpensive, and
yep.
Maybe somebody over there would join us. We get a lot of notes from various military folks that are over in that part of the world. So that'd be kind of fun.
And hey, I want to cover something with you guys up front in this podcast. Let's kind of let's be mature adults about this and clear the air. This is something I've been a little nervous about, but I understand that you, James, and you, Brian, have shaken hands and agreed to make up and everything after the nasty campaign from last week. Is that correct?
Absolutely not. James was crossing his fingers when he shook my hand.
Oh! Okay. Just wanted to check and see, because that meteorological race got nasty.
Brian is still mad because we kind of outed him on the casino trip to Mississippi and the fact that he hangs out at Wesley's Booby Trap Lounge. So, you know.
Low blows.
Yeah.
Ooh! and I want to set the record straight. I do not hang out at Wesley's Booby Trap.
You just frequently
go by
attend.
There frequently.
Oh, okay.
Actually, you know what's sad? That is a great spot for weather spotting up there. If you're looking for, you know, features in severe storms, it's up on a high spot on the Walker-Jefferson County line. I tell Brian, I don't mind if you, you know, do a live shot from there, but just be sure and park the live truck around back so nobody can see in front of Wesley's Booby Trap. You know?
Well, I was...
Is that what used to be Green Top?
Wesley's is almost across the street from the Green Top Barbecue, yeah.
I had heard that Brian was wanting to go up there with his telescope. He was supposedly wanting to do some observing of heavenly bodies. I don't know if there's truth to that or what that's all about.
I don't know if you'll find many of those around Wesley's.
I don't know. I have never been into Wesley's. So.
That's one I'm going to choose not to touch.
I like how JB's playing ignorant. Like he doesn't know anything about it. JB's probably the guy that hangs out down there.
He's very quiet.
No, I've never been to Wesley's. I've been to Green Top one time with Old Shoe and Span.
You know what I like about you, JB, is you don't lower yourself to what Weather Brains sometimes becomes. You keep a higher level of standard, and I really admire that in you.
Well, I'm too ignorant to.
I've got a bone to pick here.
Uh-oh.
You know, we ought to have a weekly rant on this program, and I wrote about this in the blog. I have great concern after watching these television people during this tropical storm we've had in the last few days. Alberto, the one coming up, that came up the Big Bend of Florida. I'm beginning to get the idea, since obviously hurricanes, it was the big deal last year with Katrina and Rita and all these other ones, that everybody's just going to try and outdo each other for hurricane coverage. And I have real concern that they're going to blow everything out of proportion. I was stunned at some of the things I've heard with this tropical storm as it was coming up. You watch some of these people on the television, and not only the cable networks, but the broadcast networks, and you think the world is about to end here. And the truth is, in my opinion, the positives outweigh the negatives with this storm. That it was beneficial rain for much of Florida. In fact, I was just looking at some of the numbers in the past 24 hours. These are good numbers. Tallahassee had 3.2 inches. Savannah had 3 inches. Jacksonville had 2.7. Daytona Beach had 1 inch. And
that was needed.
It really was. It was a good beneficial rain. And one of our associates, David Peters, interned here back when he was a meteorology student at Florida State, he reported in from Tallahassee, said life's going on as normal. You know what? We need the rain. It's a good thing. But again, you watch these television network people, and you know, you think people are in a death mode here. So I just have great concern that every time some little tropical thing blows up, the media is going to blow it out of proportion, and it's going to be the cry wolf thing. After a while, people are going to get numb to this, and next time we do have a big one like Katrina, nobody will listen again. So that's my.
What is the name you call him? Blow dried what?
Well, blow dried boobs is typically what I call him. Because. and again, in my opinion. They're out there trying to make a name for themselves. A lot of these young ones especially, they want to use that so they can get a tape of that and show it to a news director in a bigger market so they can jump up in market size and show how great they are covering hurricanes. And they get their hair blown
around. That was one of Dan Rather's shining moments when he was hanging on to that road sign down on the coast, hanging on for dear life.
Yeah, and that's back when you maybe had a few people covering those things, and now you probably have more journalists down there than people that live there, and everybody's trying to get their hair blowing in the wind for their resume tape, and they try and make themselves a story. And if there's something, like at Gulf Shores, there's something going on down there, I don't care about, you know, Joe Pretty Boy on television. I want to know what's going on with the property and the people that live there. So the whole thing really is disturbing me, and I will assure you, of course, if I'm directed to go by my employers, I'll go, but I'm not going to cover hurricanes anymore on the Gulf Coast because of this insanity. I'll let Mr. Peters do that.
So I'm a blow-dried boob, is what you're saying?
No, you're not. You're a meteorologist that knows how to tell the story. And I guess, and I don't want it to sound like I'm picking at journalists because, you know, I respect what they do, but I'm sure afraid that these guys are crossing the line. And I just watched in absolute amazement last night and this morning these people on the west coast of Florida saying, oh, the worst is yet to come. You know, it was just like you're watching Katrina.
Disaster, huh?
Yeah, and nobody said, hey, these folks needed the rain. This is a good thing. So I have growing concern. We have Houston, we have a problem with the mindset of these people on the Gulf Coast. So I'll leave it at that before I get in trouble.
Well,
I do work for journalists, you know.
Well, this gets into the news business as much as being a weather issue, but for years, television news operations, and they continue to do this right now, get consultants and ask, what do we need to do to make our news watched by more people? And the consultants say, make it compelling, make it dramatic. Is that not a fair assessment?
Oh, and look, there's no doubt that, you know, the hurricanes brought in huge numbers for the cable operations, like the Weather Channel and, you know, Fox News Network and cable news networks. And I don't know if there's any pressure for these folks to get into this rhetoric and hyperbole on the air like they've done. But, yeah, they love that because, you know, big hurricane, that's a big story. It's fresh on people's mind after Katrina. So, yeah, and the consultants love it. So here you are, every little tropical storm that blows up, you're going to have hundreds and hundreds of TV people telling folks how the world is going to end. And let me say this, I have been accused of being one that's, you know, goes way too dramatic during tornado outbreaks here. And I really try and watch that. And sometimes criticism is very valid. And I try and listen to good constructive criticism. That's the only way you'll get better. But I think we have way too many warnings here. I've said that on this show before, and I'll say it again. We're in this big overwarning mode with severe weather, but I try and save the real urgency for those moments when you think there is indeed a big tornado on the ground and somebody's life is in danger. Those times are relatively rare, but they will come. But if you get into these dramatics, every time there's a storm, nobody will listen. And it's the same thing with these hurricanes.
Even Greta Van Susteren was on the coast.
Oh, really? So
yes.
Now they're moving their anchors down there for minimal tropical storms, huh? Good grief.
Let me ask you this, James. When you are in a weather situation where you really do fear a dangerous situation and you think about the people who in the past complain and say, you're alarming us, you're being too dramatic, do you ever just feel damned if you do, damned if you don't?
Oh, yeah. You know, and there's no doubt. We do live in a world where just everybody's mad. And I guess, and I try not to be mad and cynical and, you know, like that, but you are going to get harsh criticism no matter what you do if you're doing local wall-to-wall tornado coverage. That's a given. And the same thing for people. And let me say this. I know there are some people that are sincere journalists, and they're down there to tell the story, not of themselves and not to have their pretty hair blowing in the wind, but they're trying to tell a good story. And those are the ones I look for. And every once in a while, you'll find one. And I think Brian has done a good job of cutting through the, you know, hype down there during the hurricanes. And I think Brian's work with Ivan was just brilliant. Right after Ivan, he was with us, you know, on camera and on the phone and describing things that Brian was seeing, you know, property and buildings and structures and things that people are really interested in. He wasn't talking about himself. You know, I'm down here, I've only had a candy bar in the last 3 days. He was telling the story about it. So there are some that do a good job, and those are the ones I look for.
Well, Brian, I think your meteorological background really helps in situations like that, don't you think? Because, look at some of these other people who are down there that James are talking about. They, you know, some of those people don't have any weather background to speak of.
Well, and I'm just the opposite. My background is all weather and absolutely no journalism. And I think probably the best compliment I've ever received in the almost 2.5 years that I've worked for 3340 came indirectly through Brenda LaDun, one of the anchors at ABC 3340. She got an email after Ivan from a lady who was complimenting me, or was complimenting 3340, and specifically mentioned my phone reporting from the Gulf Shores after Ivan. And the kicker was that the compliment came from a lady who was blind. And that, to me...
That says something.
If I did that kind of job to where a person who cannot see could follow along with me, then I think I must have been doing a reasonably good job.
That's telling the story.
That's a compliment I will take to the grave with me and take proudly, because I consider that a real meaningful compliment from that lady.
And I'll say this, David. I remember Brian's telephone report. As I recall, Brian, you were driving down 182 and kind of describing what you were seeing, and maybe you weren't driving, you were were you in a police car?
No,
you were
I was
doing that?
But we had picked up a police officer who was walking, and had a digital camera and was just looking over the scene, and he rode with us.
I got you. Well, see, that in the way he was describing the property and the scene, it was just brilliant, where most TV people, they'd be talking about themselves. And I just think there's a big difference there. So I think for all of us, as we look for these reports on the Gulf Coast, you really need to find some credible sources, ones that have done a good job in the past, and kind of stick with them and just cut away from all this foolishness. I saw some guy last night. He was almost hyperventilating about this possibly being the earliest landfalling hurricane on record. And you could just tell he wanted to say, and this is a sign of global warming. I mean, the veins were on his neck. The guy was so excited, and don't you know that since it did not become a hurricane, he's probably crying in his sea suds down there.
Well, speaking of global warming, I take it you guys have seen the latest news post on ABC News' website about polar bears. You guys catch this?
I saw it in the Birmingham News today.
Yeah, global warming, James, may force polar bears to turn to cannibalism, according to scientists.
Well, that does it.
Let me read a single sentence out of a story off ABC News' coverage. Quote, Deborah Williams of Alaska Conservation Solutions, a group aimed at pursuing solutions for climate change, said the study represents the bloody fingerprints of global warming. End quote.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So we've got...
I think we should feed a few scientists to the polar bears.
I think it's a serious issue, and we get on a lot of these podcasts. We have done this many times in the past and have made comments, and it is the scientists who disagree with global warming. Who would that include? A lot of them. Dr. John Christie, right?
Yes.
Huntsville, Dr. William Gray. These people don't dispute global warming. They've tried to make that clear, and I think some people have twisted the story. But they totally dispute the causes, the trends, the speed of the trends, and all those other issues upon which it seems as if so many politicians and others who really lack a scientific background are just jumping upon in full force.
And I think everybody should do their own research. I mean, don't listen to us. Don't listen to any one voice. Go do your own work on the project. But I would suggest this: as you do your own research into this global warming thing, I would much rather listen to a scientist than a politician or an entertainer. For example, I would not be getting your research together on global warming at the Barbara Streisand Global Warming Crisis Concert Tour that's going on.
Right.
I would get it from... trained meteorologists, those that are good at climatology, that those that know what they're talking about. And on this issue, they are few and far between. And I would also suggest, don't get your information from someone whose sole source of income comes from grants based on the fact that global warming is real. And I'll just leave it at that.
But that's a really good point, is for people to remember that there's money tied up in these arguments. It's not all science, it's money. And I think that really skews a lot of what we hear. And I think there's a real price that we pay if we don't do as you say, James, and that is to look under the hood here and really do some researching on your own. I'm just glad that we have the internet, that we can do things like that, and we don't have to take totally for granted what we hear from some of the news organizations these days.
Amen, brother.
I'm not going to
get
soapbox.
Just get your information from J.B. Elliott. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, J.B., what's your take on this? Are we off key here?
No, you're right on key. You're ringing the bell. But I do believe there is global warming underway right now, but there has been global warming underway every few centuries for eons. And I keep referring back to, was it 1911, when there was practically no ice in Greenland? So just the fact that the ice cap is melting now doesn't mean it won't freeze back one of these days and maybe have some glaciers coming down to Jefferson County.
I just think it's stunning to hear cases where some of the scientists who, from a scientific perspective, dispute this are personally chastised, attacked. James, you talked about this, I think, involving Dr. Gray, William Gray. When those sorts of things happen, when there are personal attacks against you because of your professional standings, I think that's unconscionable. I can't believe that.
Yeah, and you know, that gets into this whole tolerance thing. My definition of tolerance is different from the world's. The world definition of tolerance is that everybody with any opinion must be right. There's no absolute truth. I think there is absolute truth. And to me, tolerance is treating somebody with a different opinion than you with decency, propriety, and respect. But it doesn't mean you have to believe what they say, because there is absolute truth. And in those that are these...
I disagree with you, but I'll listen to you.
Right. And these tolerance people, all of a sudden, when they hear Dr. Gray, they're the ones that are just all over him with this biting, stinging, personal hate criticism type stuff. It's just unbelievable. So
that's stunning.
Then disagreeing is great. We're all going to disagree. We're all going to have conflict, but you just treat those that disagree with you with respect and decency. And I wish we could come to this. This whole issue has just gotten out of hand. We probably beat it more than we should here, chase too many rabbits.
Well, we're probably going to be bringing this up again, and just because there's so much coverage about this, and people are being saturated with it every week in the news, and I don't suppose it's going to go away anytime soon. So,
nope.
You know, it's here, but I just think that there's some real wisdom in looking beyond what you read sometimes and looking at...
Do your own research. Amen.
How about the fact that Baghdad, Iraq... in Birmingham, Alabama, at 7:30 p.m. Central Daylight Time, have something in common. Excuse me, 8:30 p.m. Have something in common.
It's not raining at both places.
And it's 77 degrees in both places. Isn't that interesting?
It's interesting, too, because we are recording this podcast on a Tuesday evening. And James, you and JB can tell me some of this. Are we in some of the outer fringe effects of Alberto here in North Alabama, some of the wind flow?
Alberto is moving up through South Georgia tonight and accelerating at 14 miles an hour and probably will get even faster. And he should be downgraded to a tropical depression probably by 10 o'clock tonight.
Because the reason I ask is because at our home, we have a screened-in porch on the second level. Love it. Look out on the trees and stuff. And I was out there earlier. And it felt absolutely marvelous. And I was wondering, what is the temperature? And the dew points felt low. There was this refreshing, steady breeze coming through. So I figured this has got to be Alberto-related in some way.
The west side circulation of Alberto is out of the north and is pulling down some dew points. Dew points are in the mid-50s over north and west Mississippi right now and much of Tennessee.
So that is what we were feeling then.
Yes.
It was great.
Yeah, I think we need to get out of an attaboy here. You know, I'm bad about getting on these shows and going on these rants, which I try not to do, but the Canadian model called this thing, 10 days in advance, way before the American models got on it?
And people said it was out to lunch, right?
Yes. And, you know, at first I think we all snickered. I did when all of a sudden it developed a tropical system. And, you know, in the early season, 10 days in advance, the first reaction, oh, it's a bogus tropical system. They always put those things out there. And let me tell you what, it was all over it. In 10 days ago, it had the thing coming right up almost into the very spot where it made landfall with excellent, you know, landfall point and strength of the storm and the whole thing. So, I find that very interesting, and I'm going to try and do some study on that Canadian GEM model to see if they've changed any of the, you know, the math in that thing or the inputs to see if anything has changed, because it sure did a good job with this.
As the weeks progress, James, I assume the Gulf waters will start to get a little bit warmer, and thus do the chances just continue to increase with time over the summer for another tropical system to maybe gain a little bit more punch if one comes in?
Yeah, I kind of like to wait until August and September. It's pretty rare to get a big, intense tropical cyclone in the Atlantic Basin in June or July. It's not out of the question, but typically these early season systems are just big rain producers. So, yeah, we'll kind of watch and see what happens as we get closer to the peak of the season. And it's really going to be interesting to see where you begin to get the development. And I think we'll probably know toward the end of July maybe, or early August, if this might be a big season for the East Coast or a big season for Texas or just a big season for the open water. Maybe some of our questions will be answered by then.
Well, it's interesting to note that the Hurricane Center is actually watching two waves besides Alberto, one out there in the Lesser Antilles and another one 1,350 miles east of the southern Windward Islands. It's kind of interesting, James, that this is not your classic climatological period for significant activity, and yet, counting Alberto, we're actually watching three systems right now, and this is only, what, mid-June?
Yeah, you know,
kind of interesting.
The Cape Verde season typically is much, much later, and to get this wave train thing coming this early is interesting. And, you know, I just wonder, you have to wonder if these things this year might become East Coast storms. We keep getting this mean eastern United States trough in the upper levels. It just wants to hang in there. That's what is pushing Alberto up the Atlantic seaboard. And if we keep that mean eastern U.S. trough, David, it just might mean that it'll be a bigger problem this year for our friends over on the Atlantic coast instead of the Gulf Coast. Not to say they'll all do that, but that trough is hanging in there, Brian, you know?
Oh, it has been. It's kind of like a bad penny, James. It seems to go away, and you think, well, that's it. You know, we're now into the hot, high pressure for the summer, Bermuda high, whatever, and all of a sudden that trough develops right back on the eastern third of the country again.
It just seems like it's setting up where maybe it's going to be a summer for kind of the hottest weather. Could be Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, where the real heat bubble is going to be. The higher heights in the East Coast trough will hopefully allow for temperatures not to get out of hand. One of the problems I've got, one of the concerns, is the fact that the soil moisture is really decreasing. And sometimes, as we all know, when the soil is dry, it can get pretty hot around here. The sun's energy doesn't have to work on evaporating soil moisture, so we got to get some water in the ground. And speaking of that, it's a little alarming to watch these newscasts. Every night, more and more water systems are asking people to conserve water by not watering the lawns. And when you start having that in June, that's a sign we might have some real trouble come August.
That's not a good sign. I've been concerned about that. And I see all these people with sprinkler systems that automatically kick on in their front yards, and that's got to change.
Well, Lake Martin was at a nice level while we were there over the weekend. So I know I know that's not a flood control dam. It's a power generation dam, but they're certainly holding the water back there. So what did you do
down there? Just hang out?
Oh, we just hung out. It was we didn't hang out much during the day since it was rather warm. In the heat of the day, but the mornings were beautiful, and I had a kind of a funny experience on Sunday morning. I stepped out of the travel trailer we have, and almost came face to face with a 5 foot tall blue heron. He was only about 25 or 30 feet away from me. I don't know who was more surprised, me or him.
Wow!
You ever had one of those gooses get after you?
No,
those things are mean.
They are.
Let me tell you what. We used to have a house near a lake, and one of those things, it decided it didn't like me, and it came after me, and that thing was trying to hurt me. I mean, it was trying to bite, and it was pooping at the same time. It was a nasty situation out there, so I don't mess with any of those waterfowl-type things, you know?
You'd need Miss Molly to protect you.
We don't feed them the bread like we see a lot of people do, because when you run out of bread and they know it, they'll come after you.
Yeah. They're not very friendly. So was the water crowded, Brian? One of the things, it seemed like we've had a lot of these boating accidents this summer, a lot of jet ski accidents and fatalities.
Yeah, the state park itself was not terribly crowded. It seems to me there are over 600 camping spaces there, and I would say maybe 50% of them were occupied, but the ones all along the water were occupied, and there were a lot of jet skis, a lot of boats, and it was really nice. It was
David, I want to see JB on one of those jet skis. Don't you know that he could crank that thing up and really run with it?
That'd be the experience of a lifetime. You'd like that? Ever done that,
oh,
JB?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
It sounds like fun. Just
get on the Speedo and get on the jet ski. I mean, now we need a photograph of that for the blog.
We do need a picture, JB.
Now that is a sight. JB in a Speedo on a jet ski.
I'll do anything.
You heard him, folks.
That would be colorful. Oh,
so
hey,
if
guys.
If a photograph shows up on the blog, you better believe it. Forget Photoshop, you know, you better believe it.
It'll be real. Got one other bit of news here for you guys. We set up a voicemail phone line for folks to call in questions, comments, whatever they feel so inclined to submit about WeatherBrainz, and It looks like we've got a call in here, and I thought we might just bring it in on the air and see what we've come in with here. Hang on, guys. Let's see who's called in.
Hey, guys. It's Bill. Hey, I just wanted to let you know I've got good news. You've been selected to get a complete digital satellite TV system.
Oh, gee,
money.
Oh, man. Well, never mind. It's just a telemarketer. Okay.
Movie channel.
Forget it. Forget it. All right. Just
hey, wait a minute.
We'd
that
try.
Guy said we had a free digital what?
You just come over and listen to my voicemails, James. We get those all the time. We get free satellite systems every week, I think it is.
Oh, free satellite system.
That's
okay.
What that is. Anyway.
I was hoping he'd give us a free plasma TV or something.
Now you're talking. Anyway, yeah. If you would like to give us a call for real to WeatherBrains and submit a comment, question, whatever you'd like, our number is 206. That's right. The area code is 206-339-5482. 206-339-5482. Or if you're an email kind of person, that works too. Our address is question@weatherbrains.com. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. Anything else, guys?
Everybody's happy
to be here.
I have emptied my little brain. I don't know anything else.
Well, I'd like to put in a plug that Dakota and Miss Molly need to meet, JB.
Dakota and Miss Molly need what?
Need to meet.
Oh, yeah. Well, then they could get married.
There probably needs to be some Miss Molly coverage on WeatherBrains. I don't know. Just you guys make the call on that. But she
I've
is
had
a,
more and more. I've had so many people ask me about pictures of Miss Molly. If you go to our blog, just go to abc3340.com and then go to weather and go to the blog. We've got a little section for all of the writers, and if you click on JB Elliott, there is a picture of JB and Miss Molly over there.
Probably need more of them.
Hey, that's right. Yes, I forgot about that.
A reminder that the opinions you hear expressed here on Weather Brains are not necessarily those of ABC 3340. On behalf of Brian Peters, JB Elliott, and James Spann, I'm David Black. Thank you for listening. See you next time for another edition of Weather Brains. Weather Brains is copyright 2006, all rights reserved. Adios.
Very nice.
Very good.
We'll
He's a pro.
We'll see if anybody calls.
He is the best.
I don't know about that. I just try to do my thing.
You're doing your thing good.